Okay, so we're going to do something called yogic salutations. Have you met them before? They're quite an it's quite an interesting yoga set.
Are we doing a challenging one?
Yeah.
I'm a bit fatigued at the moment, so if I can work out.
It's actually interesting. It's challenging in a way that you wouldn't expect. It's
saying my body is.
So. That's okay. It's one of my favourite. It's one of my favourite yoga sets, but it's a bit odd. It's not what you normally would consider as a kind of yoga set. But I'm going to deal today with... So we're doing the addictive personality. The basis of the class is around the addictive personality. And today I am doing sugar. Sugar and food addiction. Sugar is a very interesting thing. Does anybody here have issues with sugar?
My mother-in-law.
No, you. Anyone personally, you have issues with sugar?
I have issues with salt.
Yeah, me too.
I don't eat sugar at all.
You don't eat sugar at all. Okay, well, we're going to look at sugar and hormones and how it all ties in, and then I've chosen this yoga set because of that. As I go through this addictive personality class, it's just choosing a different topic each week. And food addiction is quite an interesting one, because what happens for a lot of people is, although the food addiction itself is in the top five, of the top layer of addictions, because food addiction is one of the killer addictions, it's quite often something that people go into. So you stop drinking and you start eating. Stop smoking, start eating. Stop having sex, start eating. And it's a very, very challenging addiction to deal with, because it's one of the things that you actually have to do every day, which makes it a very challenging addiction to master, because you have to eat every day. And over the time that I've been in recovery, I've come to understand, having issues with food myself, that the root of all of this is the sugar, the root of the food addiction. But what gets quite interesting when I start looking at managing moods, I don't know if any of you are in recovery from drugs or alcohol or anything, doing anything sober, but one of the issues that comes up once you get into this is actually managing your mood, being able to stay okay, rather than, because what happens is you go off. If you decide to stop, let's say stop taking drugs or stop drinking, you don't have anything that you can use to escape from yourself. So you tend to go sideways into other things, food being one of them, anger being another, intensity being quite often another, and sex and relationships. They're the classic things that we go off sideways into. But when you get into trying to take yourself forward in a more balanced and even way without looking to escape from yourself, do you know what I'm talking about? Trying to keep your mood even. You start hitting and becoming possibly aware of the damage that you do to the hormone system in the body through drugs and alcohol. If you have taken drugs, if you have used intensity to excess, if you have drunk to excess, you will have damaged the hormonal flow in the body. The drugs, whatever drugs you use, whether it's marijuana or cocaine or heroin, whatever the drugs are, including prescription drugs, they damage the flow of dopamine and serotonin in the body. Dopamine and serotonin are mood regulators. But also, if you get into using cocaine particularly, and alcohol to excessive amounts, you damage how your body works with a hormone called cortisol. I don't know if you've heard about cortisol. It's a stress hormone. It comes from the adrenals. The adrenals are glands that sit above your kidneys. And cortisol is an extremely unpleasant hormone. It's very useful. It's part of the fight or flight system that we have in place as human beings. When we get frightened, it's part of what drives us to be able to escape. But when you act out addictively in using substance, you mess up the cortisol flow in the body. And if included into that, you have had traumatic experiences or you come from traumatic experiences in your childhood, you have a serious tendency to get very worked up and very stressed, which then in turn, addiction is a very good way of dealing with it. So you get into a cycle of behavior. Does that make sense? Can you understand? You can get into a cycle of behavior based on trying to manage how you feel. So when you get sober, when you get clean, if you decide to stop acting out and you decide to go on a path of trying to manage yourself, this is the key to it all. This is where sugar comes back in, because we live in a society that wants us to engage with sugar all the time. And it isn't necessarily sugar in its purest form. It's also white pastry. Would you like a pastry with that? It's this whole coffee thing. The combination of sugar white flour and caffeine sends your whole hormonal system into a tailspin completely. And if you then get on the tube in the morning and read Metro and you read all these delightful articles that are being fed to us, you end up in this cocktail of hormones that's very insane. It's very difficult to manage yourself. You can end up really being very, very driven by hormone-based moods. So the root of all of that comes back to sugar, stopping sugar. You said you don't take sugar at all. You don't take honey.
When you said the white flour.
Well, that immediately turns to sugar in the body, yeah.
This is my addiction, white flour.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So it is sugar in a different form, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're getting to the place where you reach a point where you've had enough of the mood swings and had enough of the emotional fluctuation, if you've got to the point where you've had enough of getting really stressed, and they're all linked, these mood swings, stress, anger, then containing how your body responds to sugar and white flour is one of the routes forward. Because if you start to understand how cortisol works in the body, it feeds. Cortisol is a hormone that's released by the adrenals, and it takes between 24 and 48 hours to get it out of your system. It creates the feeling of being very, very stressed. If you have abused yourself physically, then you're very likely to shoot cortisol very quickly. Which means that once you do that, what the cortisol wants is it wants sugar, white flour, and caffeine to keep itself going. So you get this craving to act out addictively. That's what it wants, to keep itself flowing in your body. That's what feeds the adrenal system to produce the cortisol. To stop cortisol in its tracks, you need to release a hormone called endorphin, the endorphin system. You need to release hormones from the endorphin system. Endorphin means internal morphine. So the things that stop cortisol are orgasm, very intense exercise like yoga, running, cycling, chocolate, sadly, and pain. Physical pain. Because if you get into physical pain, your body releases endorphins. And the endorphins eat the cortisol. So that's why things like the bed of nails. Have you seen the bed of nails that they sell here? If you have a tendency, it works very well with the addictive personality. If you have a tendency to shoot too much cortisol, and you find it difficult to sleep, and you get very stressed, what the bed of nails does, your face is very funny. Have you never lain on it?
No, I felt it.
Oh, it's lovely.
No.
No, it's very lovely. It's worth trying. If you have got an addictive nature, it's very worth trying, because actually you can feel it almost instantly. It releases endorphins and it suppresses the cortisol flow. That's its job. So I don't know if all these threads come round into a sensible place, because it's a subject that I can talk about for a very long time. I'm kind of fascinated by how we're so driven, and socially how we're very driven by this sugar addiction, and the sugar isn't just pure sugar, it's sugar that comes from the food that we're thrown. And I'm actually just reading this book at the moment, Fast Food Nation, which is all about this whole thing, that the way that sugar has become endemic. But actually what it does is it drives the addictive process. It's very clever, because it keeps you in a cycle, it keeps you in a loop. So stopping sugar in all its forms, including the white flour thing, is a really potent act on the path to getting yourself stable, getting yourself emotionally stable. Because if you pull back on the sugar, if you pull back on the refined carbohydrates in your diet, you lower the glycemic index in the body, you lower the food that feeds the cortisol levels drop, you sleep better, the cortisol levels drop further, and you start to stop, you basically engage yourself in kind of damage limitation, in mood management. It's one of the key things to stopping yourself going into the point where you need to act out. So it's a difficult thing to stop. I mean, not that I want to negate any effort. But there's two things that are very useful. And one is something called chromium picolinate, if you've heard of this. It comes in drops or pills. And it regulates blood sugar. And the other thing is sunflower seeds regulate your blood sugar. And if you take alternatives like xylitol and stevia, you still maintain the craving for sugar. So the trick is not to have anything artificial, not to replace sugared drinks with diet drinks and not to replace sugar itself with sweeteners because it maintains the attachment to the sugar. The body still behaves as if it's had it. So the reason I've chosen the set I've chosen today is because it works very strongly on the liver and the kidneys, and they're the two organs of the body that are very damaged by addictive processes, by the excess of sugar. One of the things that sugar affects hugely is the liver. And actually in America there's a move to make sugar as illegal as to have the same taxes on it as alcohol should have, because 75% of all hospital admissions in America are due to sugar. There was an article in Nature this week about it. It's quite an interesting article, which you can download off the internet, about what it's costing America. Even though it's completely endemic and set in the culture, they're actually starting to realise that they have massive problems because everybody's obese because of what the sugar does. So this yoga set starts on the liver and works its way through into the kidneys and then starts building up the endorphins and the dopamine and the serotonin. So that's what we're going to do. Do you have any questions? Nothing. Okay. Well, we'll start then with tuning in and then warm-ups. So Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Long, deep breath. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. Are you all familiar with the three locks, the body locks? You're not. You've forgotten about the other two.
Well, I've forgotten what the neck lock is.
That's okay. The root lock is the anus, the sexual organs, and the belly. So it's the three parts in the base. It pulls the pelvis together, it does the self-esteem. It's very good as a rooting for all the energy to rise. The second lock is the navel. It's not actually the belly button. It's the hara, which is a ball of nerves just under the rib cage here. That's the second one. And then the neck lock is done by pulling the neck back slightly. You need to sort of engage these ligaments so that actually what you end up with is rather than chin up, but that the spine feels completely straight. And once the spine feels totally straight, then you can pull all three. So you tend to only do all of the body locks when you're sitting straight. In no other position will you do all of the body locks, because actually it's about engaging all the muscles of the spine. And we'll do it now with more consciousness, but when you do the full three locks, you feel as if you're girding your spine. Do you understand the word to gird? To gird means to wrap. It's like girdle comes from the word gird. It's to wrap. It's what people used to do before battle. They would gird their pelvises to make them strong. So if you close your eyes again, exhale and inhale. Hold the breath, now squeeze anus, sexual organs, pull the belly, tighten under the ribs, pull the neck back, and the jawline is sort of parallel to the floor. And now notice how the whole of the spine is almost like a really strong steel lamppost. And exhale, And as you exhale, you can feel a wash of energy coming up. I don't teach this Mastering the Kundalini class at the moment, but one of the things that you really want to be conscious of is with Kundalini yoga, you're playing with a massive amount of potential. We have within us extraordinary potential. And when you start strengthening the spine, you start strengthening the body locks, you start being conscious of girding the spine, you can hold and contain this energy and allow it to rise up. And it keeps you... It makes it easier, the journey. It just makes your journey easier. There's a lot that you can play with as the result of mastering these locks. I'm going to start you on press-ups, because press-ups are very engaged in hormonal flow. And I don't know, do you ever do press-ups, any of you? No. Okay, press-ups, they're one of my favorite things, but they come in two forms. You have a full-body press-up, and you have a more like a beginner's press-up. What press-ups do, just before you start, so that you can engage with enthusiasm, is they stimulate the thymus, which is a gland above the heart. The thymus is thoroughly engaged in your immune system, but more than anything, it's about your will. So if you're talking about addictive personality because you want to stop something, you want to change behavior, the thymus is a really important part to play with. And if you have any experiences to do with depression, then press-ups would be page one. They would be the first thing that you really should do in the morning. They'll change your mood. So when you finish your press-ups, I'd like you to sit back on your heels and close your eyes, because the effect of the working the thymus is extraordinarily powerful. And so afterwards, sit back and feel it by closing your eyes, keeping your attention on your third eye. So there's two forms of press-ups. And the way that you do it yogically is that you don't do it spread wide like that. That's a gym press-up, which is literally for the biceps and the shoulders. But if you're doing it because of what you want to do to yourself yogically, you bring your shoulders narrower, you bring your hands underneath, and your elbows are back, behind. So the elbows are tucked back. And your body is straight. Now, that's a half press-up. So that's, particularly if you haven't got very strong core abdominal muscles, that's a half press-up. Shoulders, I can't go very deep because I once... On my way to get very drunk, fell down a flight of stairs and tore all the ligaments in both my arms. So I can't go all the way down. I never have been able to. But full press-ups are like this, all the way down. And same thing, elbows back. Okay, so I'd like you to do 20 press-ups. That's the first time you've reacted. 20 press-ups, easy. Eyes closed, inhale, so inhale up, exhale down, do 10 and then do 10. But keep your bum straight, keep your body straight, keep your body straight. No, bum down, yes, yes, exactly. Big smile, and you can count for yourselves. You're not doing press-ups at all.
Oh.
You're doing something different.
Okay.
You're doing cobra. No, so, go on all fours.
Like
okay,
this.
Now make your pelvis straight. Yes, and now, yes. Okay, and now, remember what I said about elbows back. Yes, but don't let your body touch the floor.
Oh.
Wow. Look, Hugo's doing a fantastic job of press-ups. Listen, doesn't matter, I run. We're getting you there. Ambition is a wonderful thing. I'm very pro-ambition. I think ambition is a marvellous thing.
Oh dear.
That's not how you end it, Hugo.
We don't work our arms.
You don't work your arms as a cyclist. Aren't you madly holding on to the handlebars?
You don't know, just like little dinosaurs.
You're like little dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs aren't your dinosaurs.
How are we doing counting wise? How are you doing over here, Princess? Have you broken anything?
12.
12, great. Do another 5. Remember, keep your body straight. Yes, elbows back. How did you do?
I don't know if I did it right.
Show me what you did.
Well. Oh, am I supposed to be going all the way to
to the ground?
You go as far as you can, and then you build up. You take this on as your sadhana, 40 days.
Yeah, okay, I did it then.
This is you, frankly. Well, you did it very, very fast. How are you doing? You did well. Close your eyes now. Sit back and feel it, because it's absolutely excellent.
When you say elbows back, do you mean like that?
Yes. Keep your back straight. You're building up. I'm not expecting perfection. I'm expecting ambition. Try a couple full length.
No.
No? Why not?
Because I've got my wrists are really... not very strong.
Are they not? Well, you can do it with blocks. You don't have to do it now, but the way to do it is to use blocks, and so that your fingers go down and you put your edge of your fist on the edge of the block, and then you take a lot of pressure off your wrists.
Something like that, you mean?
Yes. Does that work better?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Much better, actually.
That's all right. But you made a lot of effort, I could hear. Okay, lie on your backs. So, continuing the theme of letting you work on my core abdominal muscles. Raise your head, put your hands behind your head, 30 leg raises. Inhale up, exhale down. Inhale up, just straight up, don't go over straight up. Just three. With grace and elegance. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. What are we on? 15? 16? 17? Keep your head up. 18? 19? 20? 21? 22? 23? 24, 25, 5 more, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30. Okay, relax. Bring your knees to your chest. In an ideal world, you would be able to do 108. The core muscles of the body are very important. What you're affecting with these two exercises is exactly that. Very linked in with self-esteem and boundaries and projection and the ability to manifest yourself. They are worth expanding and playing with, even though it's an effort. I know it's an effort. Inhale. And come sitting up. Okay, we're going to continue the warm-up theme, which is more simple now, just to give you a bit of a break. Spread your legs as wide as you comfortably can. So you're going to do a dynamic life nerve stretch. So inhaling up to the left, exhaling down, inhaling up, really inhale up and open the chest, and exhale the other side. So eyes closed, just let yourself go with it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
conscious that every time you exhale and lean forward, you're stretching your nervous system. You're opening your mind.
I can make a man forsake his country and flag.
Head down.
Something like my best for joy and good. I'm going to go and then keep going. And so I'm in bed, I'm on my way to have some state to children's play. I'll find that some child and demand. I'm respecting the turkey and I'm leaving inside. I take my addicts and make them steal a bar of bed. And then they search for a man and they're on my head. So be you Italian, Jewish, black or Mexican. I can make them a world of men. That makes sense.
How you doing?
So now,
how you doing? You all right?
You'll do your best to keep up your habit until you're released. Now the police have taken you. Come on, come on.
You're nearly there. You've got 20 seconds to go.
Let them identify me. I'm your king. Now, I must lie in that county jail. Well, I can't get to you by this army. So spoil it. With this dog, where are the calls? 6 days of madness.
Inhale up, arms above your head, and exhale straight forward. And then just long, deep breathing. Just allow yourself to stretch out the ligaments and the tendons of the back of the leg. So your head is down and you're stretching forward.
I'll be waiting at the gate. Don't be afraid. Don't run. I'm not chasing. Sure, my name is Elvis.
Legs as straight as you can.
Put it in the stirrup. And make
yes.
Hey, mouth of Stephen.
Using the exhale breath.
Follow the right horse up there with it. To hell. To hell. For right.
Keep stretching forward on the exhale. And inhale. Stretch forward. Exhale all the air from your lungs. Stretching forward, forward, forward. No air in your lungs. Squeeze the root lock. Tight, tight, tight. And inhale. Close the eyes, keep the eyes closed, but release the posture. Cross your legs, let your nervous system retract. Close your eyes. If you're new to working with me, I like you to enjoy after each posture. After each posture is when the body does the work. You've released a lot of hormones in the body. You've stretched the nervous system. You've expanded your lung capacity. You've raised your oxygen levels. You've increased the prana in your body. And your commitment to yourself is extraordinary. They're not soft postures. They're postures that change Each posture, I'm very clear about what it does. And when you finish a posture, engage with your physical body. Be in your body. And if you're here because it's the addictive personality that's drawn you, the idea of it, or what you want to know about it, or how you relate to it for yourself, then becoming comfortable in your body is really key to mastery. Being able to create an exquisite space within is the purpose of this class. And where you can go at the end of each posture within yourself can become far more divine than anything that you can spend money on. Okay, you're going to start on your stomachs. You're going to do something called Nada Pranam. And it's a form of prayer, what you're doing. You're going to clasp your hands behind your back. And you're going to count. You're going to do this 108 times. So you are individually going to count. My proposal is that you take it gently and slowly. And you're going to inhale up, raising your arms, opening your chest. Raise your arms up. Exactly, beautiful. Like this. This is lovely. And exhale down. And release everything. And inhale.
Moving the legs as well.
What?
Are we moving the legs or just the arms?
No, you're only coming up from the front of your body. So you're going to inhale up. And exhale down. Well, keep your hands clasped. That's two. And keep going. Inhale up. Slowly, slowly. And you're counting. I wouldn't do it fast. I try to be present. So you're counting to 108. So as you come up, the head comes up. Now what you're doing is you're stimulating the kidneys. You're massaging the liver. The kidneys hold fear. The liver holds anger. The stomach, which you're also massaging, is the seat of the subconscious. Keep your feet on the floor. You're strengthening all the muscles of your back. You're stimulating the thymus, which is the gland above the heart. You're opening the chest muscles. You're stimulating the lungs and the lung meridians in the arms. You're stimulating the pineal, the pituitary, the hypothalamus. And you're really going to feel it soon. Keep the eyes closed, tongue pulled back. Just make it a meditation. Find a rhythm that works for you and make sure that as you come up, you raise your head.
Is up and down one?
Yes. Eyes closed, tongue pulled back, press to the roof of the mouth. Here you are. If you've finished, keep your eyes closed, but curl up in baby pose. There may come a point during this set where you hit a monumental headache, but I promise it'll pass. But try to be in your body. You can release an enormous amount of toxin into the body and it will flow through you. Curled up in baby pose, let your shoulders drop. Don't hold any part of yourself. Open the hips, release. Wherever you're holding, just release. If you've had enough of baby pose, you can lie on your stomachs and relax. You don't have to stay there.
Thank you. exhale.
And come up onto your stomach. Lie on your stomachs. Okay, next one is bow pose. You're in bow pose, and you're going to use the breath. You count out loud where you work together. You three work together, and it was good. The rhythmicness of it was good. What you start to do with these rhythmical postures is you release an enormous amount of serotonin. So I don't know if you were able to disconnect from how much you're suffering into actually what it feels like afterwards. Were you able to go into what it was feeling like? Because you're releasing a lot of serotonin into the body, which is a hormone that makes you feel good. So not only are you releasing, we hold. What's interesting about yoga, why yoga works very well with the addictive personality, is that you can let go of stuff without actually talking about it. You can shift. We hold a lot in the body. And what these postures, particularly with this focus, do is allow us to let go, not only of toxins. In this next posture, you're going to be stimulating the lymph system under the arms and in the groin. You're still doing the kidney, the liver, and the stomach, but you're also stretching the nervous system. So you're affecting an enormous amount of change in quite a short period of time. I remember when I did the teacher training, which was a very long time ago, one of the things that I was told was that a year of practicing Kundalini Yoga was equivalent to 11 years of therapy, which I thought was wonderful because I'd been in therapy for a while at the time. but for me, you know, coming to it from having gone through 12-step recovery and then discovering yoga, it was extraordinary because all the things I couldn't connect to, all the things that 12-step recovery wasn't doing for me, yoga did do. It helped me deal with the anger and the frustration. It helped me deal a lot with the toxicity in my body from what I'd done. And it was a really life-changing experience. And if you take it on from this perspective of I'm only expecting you to do your best, that you can do for you, and it's ambition is a wonderful thing. I mean, I know how I started. I hated it. I fucking hated yoga when I started. I couldn't bear it. I loathed every minute of it, and gradually I came around to it. And I particularly didn't like these kind of postures because they pushed me out of my comfort zone. But how I teach now is to try and get you conscious of exactly what it is you're doing. So you are actually in this posture, this next posture, affecting an enormous amount of change. 180 is a sacred number. You're going to count it out loud. So it doesn't matter if you go at your own pace or if you all end up working as a team to get through 108 salutations. So a salutation is a recognition, it's a bowing. What you're doing is you're bowing. And in that continuous bowing, you're stimulating an enormous amount of hormonal flow from the head. And the pituitary, there's a kind of argument about whether it's the thymus or the pituitary that are the main leaders of how hormonal flow is stabilized. But there's one school of thought that says it's the pituitary gland, which is at the top of the spine here. It's kind of in a line with the third eye. And it, if you had a line that went from the third eye through and straight up the spine, you'd meet the pituitary gland. It's a master gland. This posture stimulates it hugely. So it creates balance. Any of the yoga sets that you do where you're lifting your head stimulate hormonal flow in the brain. That's one of the reasons why Kirtan Kriya, which is a posture that you do for hormonal balance, lying on your chin, you lie with your chin up. You put the pressure on the back of the neck and you stimulate hormonal flow like that. So it's a strong posture.
What
so
do you mean by stimulate hormonal flow?
You change. Well, what you're doing with these postures is you're increasing hormonal flow. What is there not to understand from that?
Well, when you say, I mean, obviously I'm assuming that it's in a good way, but like in terms of women and PMS, like hormonal flow might not always be a good thing. I mean, I'm assuming obviously it is a good thing because you're teaching it. The hormonal flow, but I just wonder which hormones.
It's interesting because there's good and bad. I mean, I was talking about cortisol.
I wouldn't
go out of my way to give you a cortisol rush. That's what I try and avoid. But what I'm trying to do on the other side is there's good hormones and there's bad hormones.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were here and you were about to go into labour, I'd probably try and avoid giving you an oxytocin rush. But it would be difficult to do that in public anyway because the only things that will do that will be an orgasm or stimulating your nipples. So I probably wouldn't do either of those things in a yoga class. But most of the time, what you're trying to do is create a kind of a balance or redress an imbalance. So if you come into if you've come into a point in your life where you're considering things like yoga, it's normally because you, whatever you were doing before isn't enough. There's something missing. And then you may have found yoga unconsciously in terms of what it's doing to you, but what then starts to happen is you start to understand what it's doing to you, and it starts to make sense. And part of what it does, depending on how it's taught, is it balances hormonal flow. So you can move through your life, and you can move through your life on a daily basis, and you can go from, you know, I'll have a pastry with that, and I'll have a double espresso or a latte. I mean, you know, cow's milk, sugar, caffeine, all those things. And you can change how you feel with that. You can then, you know, go and get wildly drunk. And please don't think I'm putting, you may just be a raw foodie, and I'm absolutely way off the mark. But on a daily basis, almost everything that one engages with in a normal circumstance will change how you feel. And normally it will take you further and further and further away from who you are actually in your real self. Yes? Wake up in the morning, I don't know, you know, I used to wake up in the morning and have a line of Coke and a cigarette or a cigar. But, you know, one gets a little bit more normal. But most things that one does in commercial life, in the way one lives one's life in London, is to disconnect. So it's quite hard to connect. So then you come into something like yoga and you start to feel more in balance. And then you start to actually understand that what you are doing with the postures, if you recognize the postures, this specific set, because of the continuous repetition of the bowing, stimulates the pituitary gland. And the pituitary gland is potentially one of the master glands. It triggers hormonal flow in the other glands. So if you're suffering with anger, irritation, that could be definitely said to be PMS. Yes, and owning the bloatedness is another thing. But if you have in any way issues with depression, if you have issues with wanting to change your mood, you can get in very easily into hormonal imbalance. And what these postures do is they redress the balance. Mm-hmm. So quite often, if you come into recovery from long-term abuse of something, whether it's intensity, sex addiction, ice cream, it doesn't matter. You've messed up, you've disconnected from how your body normally works. So what yoga does, and particularly if it's very focused with a consciousness and the ability to stop and have a sensation of what's happening, you can start to recognize that you can come back into who you are and how you feel. So it redresses an imbalance.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? I didn't mean to be in any way humiliating, but I didn't mean to be, and I probably was, and I'm sorry. But it was just...
No, you weren't. I just wanted to specify what hormonal flow meant.
Well, hormonal flow can mean all sorts of things.
But I know you mean it in...
I mean it in a positive way,
yes.
I mean it in a positive way. And it depends on what the issue is. Because if you came in here having a really mad cortisol rush and you were really, really stressed and you asked me to stop it, I would do something quite different to what you're doing now. Because I would create intense discomfort in your physical body. I would put you into a position that would take you into quite quickly into physical pain, which would release endorphins, which would eat the cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
So that would create a hormonal flow with an end result.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah? So it's quite, I'm fascinated by how the body responds. You know, I've spent my life trying to sort of not be in my body, and now I spent the last 20 years trying to be and to stay here and to be comfortable and okay with it. But it doesn't behave how I, you know, 24/7 consciousness is kind of tiresome. It's interesting and challenging. So yoga's a nice way of making it slightly more bearable. So grab your ankles, not your toes. And the reason you grab your ankles, not your toes, is it makes a better line in the posture, not just for me to look at, but for what it does. Okay, so...
Oh, dear God.
4, 5... 6, you're counting out loud.
7,
yes.
8,
9,
10,
11,
maybe breathing.
12.
That's your problem, Princess.
13,
14,
15,
16,
17,
18,
19,
20.
21, 22, 23, 24.
Very good on the stomach muscles as well, which I'm sure you can feel quite quickly.
27.
So you're nearly a quarter of the way through.
28.
29. 30.
You're over a quarter of the way 31, through. Big smile.
32.
33. Push your feet away and it'll help you come up. Where's the pain?
25. 36. 37. 38. 39. 40. 41, 42.
You can take turns in breathing and
43,
counting.
43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48.
You're nearly halfway.
49, 50, 51, 52, 53.
Detoxifying, a lot of stuff let go, a lot of stuff moved on and out. And if you're talking about PMS, then stopping sugar is one of the most potent things you can do for that. Are you alright with your cramp? Well done. You're good. You're very dedicated, I like it. And exhale. And come sitting up, come onto your heels. Gently, gently. Have you got a headache?
Yeah.
Yeah? It'll pass. I promise it'll pass. Just keep breathing. If you've got water, drink some water. If you haven't got water, I can get you some. Mm. You're okay? Is it settled? Okay. Your next posture... if you ever joined a religious cult and they wanted to get you completely and utterly obsessed with them, they do this for about half an hour. You're going to do it for 108 counts. And it's called Guru Pranam, and it's bowing to the infinite. But what it does is it can create a state of hysteria. It's how people get into altered states, is with this movement, because it stimulates so much hormonal flow. What it also does is, as you come up, the stopping creates a signal that goes up the nervous system and stimulates the brain, the signal that goes up the spine and stimulates the brain. So if you were ever wanting to learn something, there's a meditation for learning, which is that you go forward and you come back. And it's the coming back, the stopping as you come back, that stimulates and fires up the brain. So you're kind of rewiring the neural pathways with this particular posture. You're inhaling up, hands in prayer pose, and exhaling forward. Inhaling up and exhaling forward. So again, 108 times. So eyes closed. And just let yourself go. Make it quite a fluid movement. You don't have to be slow. Just make it fluid, let it flow.
Thank you.
Your next posture, once you're done with this, which some of you have, is to lie on your backs. So lie on your backs and relax completely. And then you'll do a posture that will cool you down, you'll be pleased to hear. And your last posture takes place on your stomach. And as most of this has been as a meditation, I'm not going to do a meditation at the end, so you get a slightly longer relaxation. But if you could turn over, just roll over and face me, because your feet are in the right place, apart from Princess Beautiful here, who's upside down in terms of this posture. So, Sitali Pranayama, do you know what is Sitali? Sitali is, yes, exactly, it's when you inhale through a straw tongue. Not everybody can roll their tongues, and that doesn't matter. If you can't roll your tongue, you inhale over your tongue. So what you're ideally doing is rolling your tongue. And you're inhaling long and slowly over a rolled tongue, and what you'll notice as you do this posture is it cools you down. So it'll lower your blood pressure. I notice some of you are breathing very fast after all of that as well. So it will lower your blood pressure and cool you down. How you're going to do it is inhaling up into cobra pose. So hands here. It's not for long. Eyes closed, make the breaths long and slow. It's a lovely, lovely breath. It's fantastic breath, particularly good for anger and irritation. Long and slow. Neck long, keep your pelvis on the floor. Eyes closed, attention on your third eye.
And then later, when it gets dark, we go away. Just a perfect day. Feed animals in the zoo. Then later, a movie to end.
Take a long inhale, come up and hold the breath. Squeeze the root lock, pull the belly. And exhale. Release the posture. Now, you can stay on your stomach or you can turn over, but what I really would like you to do is make sure that you're covered up. But I can do that. I can come and cover you all up. So get yourselves comfortable, front or back. Thank you. Move your tongue in your mouth. Move your fingers. Move your toes. Rotate your hands. Rotate your feet. Rub your hands together and rub your feet together. And then put your arms in a T-shape. Bring your knees to your chest. Inhale and exhale, your knees to the right, your head to the left. Inhale back up, and then do the reverse. So knees to the left, head to the right. Stretching the spine out. Bring your knees to your chest again, give them a hug. And then come sitting up. Now that's a very strongly detoxifying set. It's a strong physical set. You'll probably feel it in your back. I wouldn't go from this into another yoga class if that's your intention. How was that? Did you enjoy it in a kind of weird sort of way? It's a set I like.
Yeah, it's like good to push yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's
like
an unusual
in
set.
The moment.
Yep. It's an unusual set. I've made another two DVDs, and this is on one of them. I used this because I think it's good. What it does is very interesting, particularly in the context of shifting stuff in the body.
What's it called?
It's called Yogic Salutations.
Is that what the DVD's called?
No, the DVD is for healing and the immune system. Mm-hmm. But I haven't. They're made and they're finished and they're edited, but I haven't currently got the money to make them into a physical DVD. So at the moment, I'm just making a decision as to where to go next. Because the authoring, unless you happen to know somebody who authors DVDs, because it's the most expensive bit, it's like $5,000. I know. It must be changed, because the software must have got better. All this drag and drop stuff, I'm sure it's easy. I've got to start again and look into it, because the last DVD I made a few years ago, so the technology must have changed. So, drink lots of water, and just let it move through you. It's a strong set, but you did really well. It was nice to teach, so thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to chant Satnam 3 times. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within guide your way on. Inhale. And inhale up. Well done. Thank you very much.